This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
All righty, baby. Yes, sir. We are rocking and rolling. There he is, the man, the myth, the legend that is Manny Navarro. Manny, somebody chimed in and said that Gary Firman's reporting that Diaz is going to stay. Are you hearing any of that?
I got a phone call from someone when I requested an answer to that question. Is it true? And they said no decisions have been made yet. So
then it's true.
I mean, it could be. It could be. I mean, I've said that November 2nd when I came out with my story that, you know, they were planning to spend more money in football, but there was no guarantee that Diaz was leaving. You know, I mean, we had to see how the season played out. They wouldn't make a decision until after the season. So, I mean, I know fans, there's a ton of crap thrown out there all the time, Big O. Like, everybody, I mean, everybody's a reporter now. You know,
yes.
Yeah. I'm not gonna chase down every report or rumor. All I can say is that from what I'm told, no decision on Manny Diaz's future has been solidified yet. So I know there's a new AD gonna come in, and it'll be up to him probably to decide what he wants to do. And so, in that regard, if you read Gary Firman's story and not the headline, and you just read the actual story, it's no different than what I was saying on November 2nd.
Okay. All right. Okay. Because I didn't see the story. I didn't know. Somebody just posted it on the chat board right before you came on. I was like, well, I don't know anything about that. But if you're doing that, then you're going back to your cheap ways and you're really not. Now, here's the thing. Here's what I want to ask you. Dude, Mel Tucker is going to get $9.5 million per year at Michigan State. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, you know, I was talking about this. It's Florida, USC, Washington, Troy, Vatek, FIU, UMass, Akron, TCU, Washington State, and LSU. Now, Florida, USC, Washington, TCU, Washington State, and LSU are the teams that are looking at the same kind of coaches that UM should be looking. Obviously, FIU, UMass, and Akron and Troy are not looking for the same kind of coach, obviously, but the other ones are.
Right.
So I'm wondering if the administration's looking around going, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be competing with a lot of schools. Some of them are willing to spend a lot more than we ever have. Maybe this is not the year to go coach searching because we're going to have to seriously overpay because the dude at Michigan State is already starting the floor at $9.5 million at that point. Because if you're paying $9.5 at Michigan State, you have to pay the same thing or more at the University of Miami.
Yeah. I mean, certainly the market affects, right, how much money you're going to spend and how much you're willing to commit. But, you know, I think the one thing Miami fans have to keep in mind here is there's a certain set of facts that I can tell you are real. Well, number one, the administration has come out and told me and other reporters that they're going to spend more money. Now, did they say this is a 10-year commitment, a 5-year commitment, a 1-year? Nobody's exactly said what it is, right? They've just said, hey, we're going to spend more money on football, right? That's a fact. The other aspect was, and I reported this and so have other people, that there's a chance that Manny Diaz could come back next year. So I just think, you know, we can sit here and try to put all the dominoes together, and say, oh, this, you know, Miami, they're now the market has changed. They're not going to – no, I think the reality is there's a couple guys that they would probably want to be head coach. If they can't get those guys, the reality is they probably stick with what they've got. And I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with that either. There's nothing wrong with that approach, right? If you can get an upgrade at coach, you do it. But if you're really not going to upgrade the position and you're just going to invest in a new guy who isn't necessarily qualified, you're going to do Manny Diaz all over again. What's the point?
Right.
There's just there's no point in that. So I think everybody, I mean, look, I get it. Everybody wants to report on this. Everybody wants to get super excited and emotional over every little report or every little thing that's said, but the season's not over. It ends this Saturday. After Saturday, we'll see what they do. And once an athletic director gets announced and chosen, we'll have a clear picture as far as what that guy wants. Because that's going to be the first question everybody asks, right, when he does his press conference and he talks. First question is going to be, what are you doing about football? So at that point, we'll know what it is that this guy really is all about, you know, whoever the next athletic director is and what their goals are. And look, there are very few people who really know what's going on. I think there's a lot of people who give money to the program, who have quote-unquote sources, and they talk to people, and there's a whole lot of speculation. But to me, I'm an actions guy. Let's see what they really do. And, you know,
yeah, me too. That's the sad part, that
I'm very
cynical, because I've never seen them do it. And I've always, you know, I've grown up with the administration always at odds with football, you know, from Tad Foote all the way down. And so it's just one of those things that I'm kind of used to with this program. I've never seen them act like Ohio State or Alabama or Florida or any of these kind of schools, that it's important to them to be great at football. You know what I mean? And they're willing to do whatever it takes to be great at football. And, you know, there's a part of your story that I remember, that when you were writing something about that, the school realized that their reputation doesn't only come from medicine, that it came from sports. And I'm glad they realized that, because that's how they became the U. It's right. Because of football. That's how they became known worldwide, because of football overall. Right. Put them on the map, and then allowed them to grow academically at the same time. Maybe now's the time that you come full circle and you do what you're supposed to do and support the thing that created you, actually. But whatever.
Yeah. And look, man, I think that's the number one thing. That's the number one difference that has to change here with Miami is, you know, do they just let the athletic department eat on its own, right? Eat off of its own budget, or do they actually supplement it and help it? And again, they were very thorough before they fired Blake James and before they make any decision on Manny Diaz. Their whole thing is, look, we have to get involved. We can't just sit here on the sideline anymore and be like, okay, football is not important. Because it is. It's part of their branding. It's part of everything that UM is about. And if they're going to be respected, look, Julio Frank had a lot of pressure on him. Before COVID hit, there were people who wanted him out of Miami. You know, the academic rankings were slipping. The law school ranking was slipping. I mean, there were people who were like, from an academia standpoint, were like, hey, this guy's not cutting it. And COVID comes along, and not only does U Health make a boatload of money off of it, essentially, but, you know, the academic stuff, all that stuff people were talking about, kind of disappears. And now, you know, everybody's focused again on football and saying, hey, your football program stinks, man. Why aren't you guys, you know, he gets called out on national television. And so that's why all this is happening. I mean, that's the reality. That's why they're making more of a commitment to it. Now, to say that they're going to commit 20 to 30 million or 25 million every year to football, I don't think that's part of this at all. My read on it is they're going to help things get better, and their goal is to make things better. But I don't know that this is a lifetime guarantee. We don't know how long is President Frank going to be there, right? I mean, he may be gone in a year or two. Maybe the next president comes in and says, no, cut this crap. This isn't happening. So I think right now it's all reactionary to what happened earlier this year when they were 2-4. And when the president basically was called to action. So they're going to make some level of commitment. I don't know what that means long term. I don't know if that means getting rid of Manny Diaz. But in some way, shape, or form, I think you're going to see an upgrade to this roster. I mean, into this coaching roster in some way, shape, or form. And whether or not that includes Manny Diaz, I don't know. But I think they're going to spend more money, and I think they're going to push. The next athletic director is going to push to upgrade this program. What that means, we'll see.
Is 2022 already kind of damaged? Because if you take long for this, you know, we got recruiting season coming up and you got commitments, and if you don't have decisions made, I think you're going to have players all, you're not only not going to pick up new players, and you're going to have to settle for lesser players, but you might lose some of the current good ones that you have because they see the environment at the moment. So what's the urgency on the search part of it? You know what I mean? Because if you're planning on hiring an AD, that you're going to tell them, hey, you know, keep Manny for a year and then decide whatever you want to do after that, then there's not going to be much of a hurry.
Right.
But if there is urgency, then there's urgency. You need to get that AD in there so he can compete with other schools for the same, you know, people they're all going after.
Right. Well, I think there certainly is a sense of urgency because you can't just, you know, National Signing Day is on the 15th, right? The early signing period.
Yeah.
Kids are going to start entering the transfer portal as soon as the season ends. You need to have some level of direction. You can't just have uncertainty. So I feel like the athletic director hire will happen within probably the next week, week and a half. And okay. At some point, there will be a declaration about whether or not Manny Diaz is sticking through the end of the year, coaching the bowl game, and the view towards the future. So to me, what's happening right now, probably behind the scenes, is conversations with Mario, conversations with Lane Kiffin, whoever, whatever coaches they really want to target, whether or not they think it's feasible that they can actually get them. And if the answer is no to those questions, and there's no way that they can upgrade that position, then more likely than not, he will come back. I mean, I don't see how you fire him unless, you know, they have an embarrassing loss at Duke and, you know, and all of a sudden you see this mass exodus. I think what they want to protect against is losing the players, losing Tyler Van Dyke, losing James Williams and Leonard Taylor, guys that they have in classes. I think that's their priority right now because.
Oop, he froze on us. He's frozen in time.
There
we go. It looks like you're loosening up there. Let's see. Go ahead. No.
You there? Am I back?
Well, no, we're here. You're the one that's going in and out. We're here.
Yeah. I don't know.
You got a jolt there. Sorry, at the man. Moment. There we go. It's all good. Now I think it's.
I don't know what it is. Bad internet signal. Who knows?
Yeah, it's just the flow of the internet. Sometimes you lose a little power and it's not as strong for the video. All right. So, oh wait a minute. We completely lost him now. Okay. So let's see if we can reconnect with Manny Navarro. By the way, remember follow him on Twitter at Manny_Navarro. Catch his work there at The Athletic. I do have a couple things that I want to ask him before we let him go because I want to get his thoughts on it. Looks like he's back now.
All right. Sorry. I don't know where it is.
Finish your point.
I forgot what I was in the middle of saying because I think I went on for a couple minutes there.
Yeah, it was about the AD search that you think it'll be done in the next week and a half, and then they'll decide.
Right, and I think at the same time, they're going to have to make some sort of determination on Manny, right? I think they'll probably announce he's going to coach to the end of the bowl game, or they'll have to have some sort of resolution to this so that they can act, right? Like, hey, we're either moving on to the next coach or we're going to keep him, and this is the plan. You know, like, I just don't think you can go in and just have a whole month of December with uncertainty of is Manny Diaz going to be, you know, coaching the bowl game and who's in charge of recruiting. Like, to me, there has to be some determination. After this game,
two of the most popular names that people have talked about as head coach is Lane Kiffin and Mario Cristobal.
Right.
I'm going to just give you two quick things that I, you know, over time thinking about this, where I don't think either one's a good fit, actually, believe it or not.
Okay.
One, Lane Kiffin already left Tennessee within 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
If he does this again to Ole Miss, that's two SEC schools that he's done this. He didn't stay long at FAU. You knew that was a stepping stone. If you're Miami, do you really want to bring in a guy? Do you really want to marry the woman that you met while she was married?
Right.
And then you got to then be with her for the rest of your life and in the back of your head going, is she going to leave me too for somebody else down the line? Is she going to get bored of me? And Lane Kiffin seems to be that woman or man that bounces around a lot and has one relationship to another. So that's unstable. Two, I like Mario Cristobal personally, but if I'm going to be honest about everything, he's had all the resources possible, more than he'll ever have at the University of Miami. Even if they want to spend money, they'll never get to Oregon's resources. He's in a super easy conference, yet he can't dominate it. And he has those games like he had against Utah almost every year, pretty much. He has one of those. He had two of them this year against Stanford was the other one, actually. He's conservative on offense. In fact, Justin Herbert looks way better in the pros than he did at Oregon. I think he's the kind of guy, because of the conservative way he coaches And I know he's a tough dude, and I know he wants a tough football team and yada, yada, yada. And he has some pretty high recruits already that are getting drafted really high. All of that. I think he'll get eaten up alive here because I think fans will tire of him quickly because he's been conservative throughout his time in Oregon. And we're talking about the Pac-12, which is normally a conference that's wide open normally and more scoring. If you look at it, I was talking about it yesterday with Crystal Ball. He's 34-12, 22-9 in the Pac-12 in his career. 22-9 in that conference is not impressive. And he beat Wisconsin 28-27 in the Rose Bowl, but lost the Fiesta to Iowa State 34-17, who was an 8-3 Iowa State team. I got to tell you something. I like him, but something tells me it won't end nice here because of the way the fan base is, the demands that there are. And if you can't dominate in the Pac-12, how can I expect you to dominate in the ACC and beat Nick Saban or Kirby or LSU or Auburn or any of these teams that you may end up meeting when you normally don't beat the SEC in Oregon? So out of these two candidates, are they really the right candidates?
Oh, I mean, I think they're the best available, right? I mean, I think that's what we have to acknowledge here is that
I got one better.
Go ahead.
I would go Luke Fickell.
Okay.
I would go Luke Fickell. I've seen him do more with less,
right,
than those guys, and that I'm impressed with. That I'm just saying. Okay. But go ahead.
That's not a bad candidate either. I have yet to hear his name from anybody at Miami. You know, as far as a target, I think people view him maybe going somewhere else. But I think from a Miami perspective, and just talking specifically about Mario and Lane Kiffin, you know, Mario's won the Pac-12, I guess, twice, and he won the Sun Belt once, and then Kiffin won Conference USA twice at FAU.
Oh, he dominated Conference USA.
You know, from a game day coach perspective, I think Lane probably has a better overall track record.
Offensive mind.
I think that what you get in Mario is the recruiter. And I honestly think what's more attractive to me is the recruiting because I think the talent at Miami has not been very good for a long time. I think it's been very overrated. I think we've all sat here and said, man, look at these great recruiting classes, right? We do it every December, every February. They're top 15. The reality is they're not producing first-round picks, man. They're just not getting those kind of players anymore. So to me, that's where it starts. Not that Lane couldn't recruit either, but I get your overall point. Like, you're not getting Nick Saban here or Dabo Sweeney or even Ryan Day. But there's only so many of those guys around. And so in that regard, you know, I think that's where you're kind of stuck like Chuck, right? Like you're just not going to be able to get hit those other guys. So you have to sort of bank on, well, what's the best available option? And I think without question, you could say Mario is a top three recruiter in the country. I mean,
Recruiter he is. I worry more about his coaching because he has been conservative. And then I know this fan base.
Right. Well, the fan base is never going to be happy. Miami fan base is never going to be happy until they're winning championships again. And here's the thing. I think Mario could come in here and win the Coastal Division every year. I mean, let's face it. Who's your toughest opponent? North Carolina, Pittsburgh, Virginia Tech, who's been down now for a long time. Like, there's nobody in there that's worth a damn. Nobody that's ever going to be the national champ. Like, Pittsburgh's never going to win a national title. North Carolina's never going to win a national. They're never going to recruit to that level. At Miami, at least you have the ceiling of knowing that, hey, when you got the right guy down here and he's recruiting at the top level, you're going to get great players. I just think, you know, you're more set up for success in this division if you're Mario than even in the Pac-12, where at times the people just kind of dismiss the Pac-12. If the ACC is really good and it's Miami, Florida State, and Clemson have three really good teams, like, you're always going to be in the college football playoff. Like, to me, you'll end up, if this thing expands to 12, there'll be two or three ACC teams that make it every year. In my mind, if Miami, Clemson, and Florida State are the best.
You got to run the table in the Pac-12 is what you do.
Right. That's the problem.
And you're in.
Yeah. I think you could lose a game in an ACC school and still make the 12.
Yeah, if you lose Clemson, probably, yeah, right. You could still probably make it because you still have the championship game to make up for it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of helps you make up for that one game that you get tripped up on. You know, even if it's not Clemson, actually, now that I think about it, even if it's not Clemson.
Right. And I think I think Florida State's going to be on their way back too. Like, I think Norvell's, like, it's not – people don't realize the ACC is so average. Like, it's just so
– No, I know.
That it's easy. That if you're really good at Miami, Florida State, or Clemson, you can win the division or the conference 6 years in a row like Clemson did. Like, it's just a matter of getting back to that. And I think
you know what I've said for years. You know what the ACC stands for?
What's that?
Another crappy conference.
Right.
That's what it stands for.
Yeah.
What it's been.
Yep.
Just another crappy conference. One more thing before you go. I know that I was invited to it too, but I didn't go to the whole reunion with the players and talk and all that.
Right.
I don't have a lot of hope for that stuff that they want. And, you know, I saw who was it? Was it Highsmith or was it? No, Bratton. Talk about he wants somebody that played on Green Tree and that's who should be the AD. I'm convinced that they'll never go in that direction. But you tell me, is there any chance we see an AD that is actually a player? Or do you get a real AD that then gets maybe a player as an assistant AD so you can kind of do the two things, the fundraising, and then the player can help you with some of the football stuff?
Yeah, I mean, look, they came close to that a couple years ago with Highsmith. And I think, you know, I don't see him being athletic director. I see him being in charge of the football pro, being a GM type role, right? Where he helps with the recruiting aspect and the talent evaluation and even the coaching. Like even just saying, you know, hey, these are the kind of coaches we want to have here. You know, we want to upgrade this position coach. You know, I think those type of things are what I see. Reality. I don't think we see those guys move into the athletic director role. I think it's more of an assistant.
What I was thinking is what you do if you're the University of Miami, in a way to kind of maybe bridge it, is you hire an athletic director and, like you just said, a football czar, but no, you label him assistant athletic director.
Right.
So that, yeah, he's handling football, but you're also training him or her. Well, it's got to be him. Because if he played on Green Tree, we haven't had any great team players.
Not cheered on Green Tree.
Yeah, no. So, but in the process, you're training him on the other stuff that he doesn't know about.
Right.
So then eventually he could become the athletic director once he's used to all the other responsibilities that you need as an athlete. Because there's a ton of stuff that we don't know about that, you know, all these athletic directors are doing behind the scenes, and we have no idea what they're doing with tennis and what they're doing with crew and how they got to replace those coaches and fundraising events that they're all over the place all week, all over, you know? So it's a complicated job. It's not just as, hey, let me hire a football coach and a basketball coach and a baseball coach, and then I'll sit in my office and just kick my feet back. That's just not the way it goes.
No, it's very time consuming. And that's the one thing people, you know, I know they were all crapping on Blake James because he made the quick hire of Manny Diaz, but the guy was dedicated and he was at every freaking event and he was fundraising for every freaking team. And from an administrative perspective, he was doing a good job. It's hiring coaches, right? And knowing what's going to work and what isn't. And that's where he lacked. And that's why he's without a job now. So, yeah, I agree. I would love to see a role like that. And I also think they want to appease the players a little bit. You know, this whole distancing, no sideline access, all that kind of stuff. I could see them in a way to help appease it because the criticism is sharp, man. Like, Miami administration reacts to that, right? Herbstreit goes on game day, rips them apart. They're tired of the players ripping them. They're tired of the players ripping the coach. They need some sort of peace, so to speak, right? So why not a couple of olive branches? Why not hire Benny Blades to be whatever in the recruiting department? Why not hire Alonzo Highsmith to have a role with the football team? Those things would, I think, go a little way in appeasing them and stopping the sharp criticism.
Hey, my Benny Blades voice. All right, listen, Manny, thank you for joining us here, man. Follow him on Twitter at Manny_Navarro. It's our Canes Wear Miami Hurricanes. Report.
That's great stuff, dude. That's great stuff. I appreciate it.
You be good, brother. Much
by love. The way, The Athletic for the next till Monday, 12 months, $1 a month. Sign up now.
Look at that. Come on.
Black
that's
Friday
a bargain.
Sale, baby. Through Monday.
My crypto. Buy the dip. Buy the dip.
Buy the dip. That's it's available now.
All righty. Welcome back. Let's do it, baby. The Canes look to wrap up the regular season this weekend, taking on Duke. Manny Navarro, of course, does an excellent job of covering the Miami Hurricanes. And, of course, it's our Caneswear Miami Hurricanes report. Catch Manny's work there at The Athletic, and you can catch him a couple times a week here talking a little Canes football. Manny, how you feeling? You feeling all right?
Doing great, man. How are you? Have a good Thanksgiving?
Yes, bro, yes. Plenty of turkey last night, which was so good. And I can't wait to get home to have the leftovers now.
Right.
You know you got to have the leftovers, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
The only thing is I'm not going to have any maluros or any boniato when I get there. So that's already gone. But the rice and beans will be – usually the beans taste better the next day, bro.
They do. They right? do. That's a great point. Yeah.
I'm so looking forward to a little turkey and leftovers when I get home, man. So anyway, hope you had a good one too with the camera, my brother.
All right. We did.
That's good. This is one of those weeks where – I mean, you should take care of business. This shouldn't be the hard. This should be one of the easier games for you on the schedule. In other words,
right?
Duke's not very good, my brother.
No, they're pretty bad. And it's funny. In the preseason for The Athletic, I ended up writing the preview on Duke, and I spoke to a couple of their coaches, and you know, for them, they had done a really good job recruiting, getting some guys on offense over the years, which is why they ended up winning the division. They got some South Florida kids, if you remember, at receiver, and they had some playmakers. And, you know, I thought David Cutcliffe did probably the best job of any coach at Duke, right, with what he did with them over the years. But they're kind of reaching the tail end of their run, you know. They don't have the Daniel Jones at quarterback. They don't have some of the other kids that they've put in the NFL over the years. And so it's a very, like, look, 48-0 last year to the same Miami team. I expect something similar to that. I think it'll be another blowout tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping, man. And I got to tell you, it's become must-see TV watching Van Dyke because yep. that kid is just going to unleash the hammer, bro. I mean, we should call him Thor, the Thor of quarterback, because he comes with the hammer every week, bro. It's fun to watch.
He has really grown quite a bit here in the matter of 5 weeks, and the confidence level shot through the roof. And he's got good receivers, right? Charleston yes. Rambles making good catches for him.
He's got accuracy, bro. You don't teach that, Manny. You don't teach that. I'm sorry, you don't.
Because
as much as I like this other kid, De'Aaron King, he's not half the passer this guy is.
Right. Arm That's strength, accuracy, all those things.
Yeah.
And he's what's exciting about Tyler is we still don't know how good he can get, right? Like he's just played eight. I mean, this is what, 7-8 starts for him?
Yeah.
Like, and really you would say just the last five games, because the first two games they were very conservative with him. And then because they had to be aggressive, all of a sudden they let him cut it loose in the second half of those two losses to Virginia and North Carolina. But let's see where this guy goes in the offseason, what kind of improvement he makes. You know, to me, he is probably the first. I mean, Brad Kyle was somebody I think we all had high hopes for. Obviously, couldn't, you know, back injury, career cut short. He never really got on in the NFL. But I think this guy is legitimate, you know, NFL talent. I think he can play quarterback for an NFL team.
Oh, yeah. No, he's got NFL skills, man. There's no doubt in my mind that guy's got NFL. And he's got NFL moxie. That's the other thing that he plays the game fearless.
Yep.
And I really like that about him, because if you're going to be conservative as a quarterback, I don't want you, dude. I just, you know, it's just not going to happen, because there are moments that the windows are going to be tight and you're going to have to complete it. And there are times you're going to have to take some chances. If you're going to wait every time that somebody has to be wide open for you to throw it to them, then you're not going to be a very good quarterback in the end. And what I like about him is, he has that temperament that maybe does translate to the next level because he is willing to take chances.
Yeah, and the other thing I like about him is he's not a statue, right? Like, even though he's been sacked a few times.
Move around,
He uses the pump fake. He gets guys to bite. dive at him. I mean, he can run with the ball and make plays. So to me, he's even better than I thought he would be, to be honest with you. I thought Jake Garcia would eventually overtake him. I can't see that happening now if he keeps, you know, improving the way that he is. And Jake Garcia, by the way, I think is a great quarterback too. I felt better about Jake coming out of the spring than I did TVD. I think once he gets healthy, there'll be a great competition. And man, I hope for Miami's sake they both stick around, because that would be fabulous to have back-to-back years of really good quarterback play.
Should you have a competition?
I think for the kid to stick around, you should. And for Jake to get, for TBD to get better, I think you say those kind of things so that.
Right, you say it, yes.
You say those kind of things so that those guys don't compete. But ultimately, if TBD is, I mean, he to me, has he proven that he deserves to be the starter next year? Yes, I think without question. But I think your goal as a program ultimately is to keep both of those guys, because we've seen you can get knocked out, you lose that quarterback, and you're a completely different team, you know? So
yeah, no, I'm with you there. Manny, what have you heard since we last spoke to you earlier in the week about Diaz's situation? A lot of people are feeling that he may survive. Yeah. Is that a feeling that is now starting to circulate in your eyes?
I mean, I think it's just opinions. You know, I think people have different opinions on the matter, you know, and you know, I think the moment you fired Blake James and you came out to the media, me and others included, and said, hey, we're going to spend money. You do that because you're A, trying to get the fan base excited, right? And B, I think you're also trying to put the message to potential coaches that you're serious about improving the situation of the University of Miami, right? Because the knock on Miami has always been, well, they're not going to spend. You're not going to be able to hire a great staff. You're not going to be able to have all the things that you would have at an Oregon or a Mississippi or some other places. And I think that message was strategically played for the fact that if they can land a better coach, they will. That's been my opinion the whole time. I think if they can get the better coach, they will. But if they can't get the guys that they really want, my opinion is they stick with Manny Diaz. And there's no rush to fire him. Like, you could fire him on Sunday or Saturday, but the reality is the coaches that you probably want are coaching their teams through their bowl games. So you could hold on to him for different reasons and let him coach the bowl game and then make the firing afterward. So number one is athletic director. They got to settle that. That's the guy who's ultimately going to break the tie in all these decisions going on behind the scenes. And, you know, to me, it's a very small contingent of people who really have a say in this. I know everybody thinks, oh, the board of trustees and this guy who gives this money and this guy who gives that money. It's President Frank, his two dudes, and one other person that are involved. Four people that are making the decisions here. And I think if they get some sort of guarantee or some sort of feeling that they can get the coaches they really want, I think they let go of Manny. And if not, he comes back. And, you know, you play it that way. That's my opinion. That's the way I view it.
Remember, you can follow him on Twitter, and that is at Manny_Navarro. Manny, when you start to look at the possible changes, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, what else have you been able to hear about that? Because I think what we're all trying to figure out is, would they actually spend the money that they need to spend? Because that's really the ultimate question. And then, as you've seen the landscape grow with other big schools needing coaches themselves, do you see them competing with those schools for the same two or three guys that are going to be available? And those guys are going to be asking for a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, the notion was, what I was told November 2nd and what I reported November 2nd was simple. Money will not be an issue, according to the Miami administration. Now, does that mean we're going to expect a commitment forever, that they're going to put it in writing somewhere that every year we're giving the athletic program $30 million, $40 million, $50 million to make sure that the football team doesn't fall apart? I don't know that that's going to be written anywhere. I think this is more about the school president getting called out on national television on ESPN and saying, you know what, we're going to do something about this because, you know, I got people who want to wring my neck for other reasons, and I got to look strong in this situation. And I think his commitment goes as far as he goes, because the next president, whoever it is down the road, comes in, they could come in and run Miami the way it used to be run. But for right now, this commitment is, I think, for a potential coaching change and whatever it takes to get the football team to win. Beyond that, I can't sit here through my reporting and my conversations with Miami's administration, say that I know that there's any fixed number that everybody's agreed to. that there's going to be 30 or 40 million coming every year, I think is presumptive. That's not, I don't think that's necessarily accurate.
Well, I mean, that's to me, that's going to be the challenge, right? Right there. Mm-hmm. That if you make this change, you got to convince the public that you're not hiring another Manny, another Golden, another Shannon.
Right. Right.
You know,
I agree. I think this is about, if you can land the kind of coach that you want, the guy that's going to come in here and take you to that level where you win the Coastal Division every single year, or nearly every single year, you're playing for the ACC championship, you're getting into the college football playoff. I think that is the vision for what this program wants. That's the goal, right? But you can't just fire Manny Diaz and say, well, we're going to get somebody better, and then go hire a guy from, I don't know, Coastal Carolina, right? You can't just go hire a guy at a G5 and say, well, that's going to solve the issues. I think this is about getting a proven head coach in here, a guy who can win, the guy who can recruit South Florida, keep the kids home, even when you're struggling, even in a situation right now, a guy who can work the transfer portal, a guy who just knows how to get it done, Big O. I mean, that's it. Like, there's no excuses. There's no reason Miami shouldn't win the division every year. I mean, when Pittsburgh and North Carolina, Virginia Tech are your biggest competition every single year, you should be able to beat those teams and win the division. That's just a fact.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm with you. I listen, this is the frustrating part for all of us, man. We know that they make the money. We know that they can spend the money if they really wanted to. We know they should be a lot better than what they are. But the problem is, until we see, and this has been a problem for decades now, right, until we actually see the administration embrace and care football as much as the fans and the media do, right, then we'll believe it. You know what I'm saying? But meanwhile, we're all sitting there waiting for that day to come that they show that kind of commitment, because unfortunately, they could get away with a lot of crap back in the day because money wasn't the factor it is now. Right. Now that money's the factor, there's another game that needs to be played, whether Absolutely. It's just paying your coaches or your facilities or your amenities and all that other stuff that all of a sudden now has become – I mean, who the hell cared about Nike school 30 years ago? You know what I'm saying?
Nobody did, right?
Nobody was talking about, are you an Under Armour school, a Nike, a Reebok? Oh, you know, kids love Nike. So you got to want to be, try to be Nike because they'll gravitate more into Nike. None of that mattered in the 80s and 90s.
Uniforms, remember all the crazy uniform combinations? Oh, the kids, that's what they care about now, right? They want the
materials. Yep. And you weren't materialistic in those days. In those days, it was just flat out about winning. So that's why all these old school guys are having trouble with all of this, because they didn't come to the University of Miami because of a facility. They didn't come to the University of Miami because you've got 9 uniforms. They came to the University of Miami because you were winning championships.
And because you'd go to the first round.
And you would end up in the NFL because you were playing for championships. That's not the priority anymore, because in order for you to use that as a priority, then money and amenities have to be also your priority. And that's where the University of Miami has just lagged behind and failed.
Yep. And you know, again, I was talking to somebody last night about this. They said, well, why, you know, what happened? When did things change? I said, well, the moment they got into the ACC, they just started cashing those checks and building buildings. Right. I mean, oh, you went down to Miami. Remember how small the heck the athletic center used to be?
Joke.
The media office where we would hang out to wait for practice to end. I mean, that whole thing was just, it was tiny. It was nothing. The weight room was nothing.
Right.
And they've spent all that money building the buildings around it and making it nice and making it pretty, but they never put the money into the coaching. Not nearly enough to give the guys that are running the team the materials that they need to win, and not hiring the quality guys that you need to win. And that requires money too. So I look, if the school is serious about this commitment, like I told you guys on November 2nd, when I reported that story, that supposedly this is what they said, money's not an issue. Then things are going to get better and you should be happy as a Miami fan, because that's what the school's saying. And I think at this point for them to backtrack, I mean, the amount of egg on their face at that point, right, to all of a sudden not spend money. So just sit tight, relax. This is the last regular season game. We'll see what happens once the athletic director is hired, which will probably happen at some point next week or the week after. And we'll see. We'll see what that guy decides and what he wants and how serious they are about winning.
Well, Leon Fresco sent in a little super chat. Thank you, Leon, as always. He says, does Manny prefer the Sun Bowl or the Charlotte Mayo Bowl?
Boy.
So what bowl
game? I've been to El Paso twice, brother.
I know. I've been El Paso. I was my car broke down. So I'm coming back from San Francisco in the 280ZX, okay? This is a long time ago. This is almost like 25 years ago or something like that. 97, in other words. So yeah, about 25 years ago, 24 years ago. So we're coming back from San Francisco, and we're doing this whole thing. I go, you know, to LA, and then we went over to the Grand Canyon. We hung out for a night, and then we leave the Grand Canyon. So my wife drives, right? And I rest a little bit. So all of a sudden, I hear, ah! And I wake up, and she slammed on the brakes, and we're stopped. And I look around, and we are in the middle of nowhere, right?
Right.
And she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I panicked. I thought the stop sign was closer. Meanwhile, the stop sign is still 40 yards away. She right. never reached the stop sign. And then she starts crying all of a sudden. And I look at her, and I go, hey, relax. Everything's fine. You just stopped, and we're good. No accidents, no nothing. Relax. You don't need to cry. She goes, no, I broke the car. And I go, what do you mean you broke the car? She goes, yeah, look at the clutch. And I look down, and she hits the clutch, and it's going like this.
Oof. Oof.
So luckily, uh-huh. I grew up with a trucker. My dad was a trucker for many, many years. So he taught me how to drive stick without a clutch.
Mm.
So I know how to drive a stick car without a clutch.
Okay.
Where you accelerate, and then as it's decelerating, that's when you bring it into the next gear. And it's one of those things that you feel anyway.
Right. Right.
So I go, hey, relax. Don't worry. We'll figure it out. So I put the car into first gear, and that's how you got to start it. You got to put it in first gear and start it. It'll kick off.
Right.
And so I kicked off. I took off. I drove for 900 miles.
Woo. God bless you.
Clutch. Okay. We stopped in San Antonio before El Paso because, you know, it's San Antonio, then El Paso.
Right.
So that's how it is, right? Or is it El Paso, San Antonio?
El Paso's further west. So, yeah, I would assume El Paso first. Right.
It's El Paso first, then San Antonio. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So we got to El Paso. That's what it was. We got to El Paso and we got to the Nissan dealership there. Okay. We pull into the Nissan dealership and I have them check on the car. And they go, yeah, we know what's wrong with it. You need this piece. We don't have it. It's a $24 piece of plastic that my wife broke in the clutch. And so they go, well, they have it in San Antonio. Well, sure enough, I got in the car and I finished my 900 and some odd mile trek to San Antonio, and I ended up fixing it. And so I do remember El Paso.
Right through it.
I smelled right through it.
Right.
Let's put it the right way, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
What people don't realize is the second you come right out of El Paso for about 40 miles, it's just cattle.
Yep, pretty much. Manure everywhere. Yep.
And exactly. For 40 miles, you are smelling crap.
Yep. Okay? Yep. It's true.
Yeah, I know. On Lee Trevino Drive. Woo. I remember seeing Lee Trevino Drive there in El Paso because I learned that Lee Trevino was from El Paso.
Yep.
I didn't know that until I saw Lee Trevino Drive in El Paso. So there's my El Paso story when I was in a 280ZX back in 97. How about that?
Hey, brother, listen. El Paso, when I was there, was the Notre Dame game when it was snowing. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
That game, Miami-Notre Dame, which was – and that was the game Al Golden was introduced as the next coach to the media. And whatever. Like, it was okay. I've been in other terrible towns. Listen, I was – where was I 2 years ago? In Louisiana. Where the Independence Bowl is. That's no picnic either, bro. It's not New Orleans.
You've done Boise too, right? You've done Boise?
I didn't go to Boise. Thankfully, I didn't have to go to Boise. I've been to a bunch of places, cities where you don't want to go for a bowl game. So for me, it doesn't matter. I'm skipping Durham this week. I'm not going up to Duke for the game. I'm gonna watch it from home. Really no reason to be there. If they fire Manny, we're not gonna get him after the game. So
right. And if they fire, anyways, they'll fire him down here. They're not gonna fire him there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Unless Duke goes and embarrasses you by 30 points, then yeah, maybe they might fire him right there.
Right. Then,
yeah, you need a hitchhike home, bro.
They'll make him take an Uber back.
Yeah. And say, call the Panthers. They'll call you a taxi. I don't know, something like that. You know, it'll do something like that. All right. So you got a prediction. What's 10, 15?
Yeah, I think Miami wins by 28.
Okay.
28. Wow. I think they beat them pretty good. I think it should be something like 42-14 or something like that, probably.
Okay. All right. Beautiful thing. All right. Follow him on Twitter at Manny _ Navarro and catch him twice a week here. For the Caneswear Miami Hurricanes report, Manny, as always, you're a stud. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate you.
Same to you. Happy holidays, peeps.
You got it. There you go, Manny. Be good. Happy holidays, my man.